Do you think that the internet on the whole has been better for people trying to overthrow repressive regimes, or has it given those regimes more tools they can use to stay in power?
Actually, it's a very interesting question, and I think internet or any technology is neutral. It's the way you use it who can be good or bad, and in the case of the internet, internet had amazing impact on the freedom it can bring to some population and to everybody, but also also an instrument of repression by the fact that many authoritarian regimes are monitoring online activities. It also offers many new tools for dictatorship to actually repress their population.
On the whole, though, do you think that it's more of a help to those trying to get more democracy or those trying to prevent it?
It's both, and that's actually why it's so interesting. I can maybe give you some example of what we are exactly talking about. Like, we know that during the Arab Spring Revolution, like Facebook, Twitter played a very important role for the opposants to organize themselves, to circulate information. And what is really interesting is that, by example, the Syrian government, after blocking for years Facebook and Twitter, gave access again to Facebook and Twitter at the starting of the uprising in Syria. And why did they do that? They opened again the access to Facebook and Twitter because they were able to monitor what the opponents would be doing on Facebook and Twitter. So by pretending that, oh, we give you again access to this freedom to communicate on Facebook, Twitter, and social networks, actually it was a way for the Syrian government to better monitor the activities of the young population online. So, as I said, the technology is neutral. It's the way you use it, you monitor it, who can be bad or good.
Are there steps that people, say, in Syria can take to defeat government monitoring while still getting the benefits of Facebook and Twitter and so on?
There's many ways for the government try to control the internet. In some, actually in Syria or in Iran, sometimes they don't even monitor, but they just limit the speed of the internet connection, so people are unable to download any video. So, you know, actually in Iran, if you want to know what is the political situation, you just have to check what is the internet connection speed today, and you will know if something is going on or not. Because the day of demonstration, or then the Iranian government reduced tremendously the speed of the connection.
What is the penetration of the internet, the web, and social media in these countries? That these are largely poor countries. My assumption is that not as many people, a percentage of the population, have access to this than, say, in Europe or the United States.
That's a good point, and that's important to highlight it. Actually, in cities in Syria or in Iran, the internet connection were pretty good. The country with the biggest number of percentage of people connected to the internet in the Middle East is Bahrain. But, for example, as Iranian population is so important, there's it represents the Iranian population connected to the internet represents actually 25 million people. And in Iran, I think, so that's for Iran, and in Syria, before the uprising, we estimate that around 5 million Syrians had access to the internet. So it can still be a small part of the population, but it's an important part. It's not just a few.
What about China? That perhaps is a special case. The government there reportedly spends vast amounts of money to monitor what's being said about events inside the country by people inside the country. Is China particularly a case unlike all others, perhaps?
Yeah, we consider China is considered to have an electronic control which is probably the world's most sophisticated censorship system. So, and what we mean by that, they are able to block a lot of websites, but also a lot of words. Anytime a specific word appears on the internet, the message, the page is deleted. But at the same time, the people in China are finding ways to express themselves, even with this huge censorship system. There's the equivalent of Twitter in China, which is called Weibo. And even if many words are forbidden, even if the activities are controlled, even if you're supposed to have access to Weibo if you give your real name, people find ways with humor to express themselves, to make jokes about the government, and most of all to circulate information when there's a revolt somewhere or when there's demonstration. So actually it's pretty encouraging because even in a country with a very, very sophisticated censorship system, people still find ways to express themselves and to circulate information. So that's why even if it could be pretty depressing, considering the fact that so many people are jailed just because they express themselves online. By example, in China, we count around 60 netizens which are imprisoned. By netizens, we just mean people who express themselves online, and they were jailed for that, and 30 journalists are in prison also in China. So even if the system is very repressive and controlling everything, there you can still find some space of freedom on the internet, even if it's a fight and even if it's dangerous. It's a very, very large issue, but I'm really glad we are coming to Kalamazoo to discuss about these issues, because internet in the U.S. is a challenge now, and the fact that the U.S. Congress is trying to regulate the internet will have also a large impact all over the world. So I'm really happy to be able to come next week to discuss all this in Kalamazoo.